Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sorry about the end of the last show.
Resume Mark!
Resume Peter! Yay! Oh, welcome back. Welcome back to the wonderful city of Jeddah here in Saudi Arabia.
Who wants a blowjob? Sorry.
No one. I always feel bad if people are like, you know, I've been to Dubai. I'm not having a pop. I think it's just the way it's... you know, push.
It's presented as empty and soulless.
Yes.
But it's very much the influencer's idea about what they want.
Yes, it
and this is the influencer's idea of what wrestling is.
It is.
And it makes us sad because we know people from the Gulf. It looks like a nice place in parts to be. They have horrible problems and horrible issues with their government, how they run their government, but it shouldn't be as regarded as being us kicking people down.
No.
But
it's Vegas, isn't it?
Vegas is a cruel Vegas.
Yeah, but exactly. Yes. Yeah, but it's
trafficking people in to service the excesses of the worst people.
Yeah, you know, I always think it's like being a smoker. When you're a smoker, you don't want to hear the stuff where they go and then the tumors begin building up. You just sort of go, oh, please don't tell me. I know it. I don't want to hear it. I think it's the same when you've like been to Dubai. You know what went on. You know, you just
you know
don't want to hear it.
And
you just go, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. All right. Yeah. It's not going to stop you going to Dubai.
No.
But, you know.
It's not going to stop us talking about the World Cup.
But you know. But you know, don't you? You do know. let's move on to the Universal Championship match. This is between Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman. So this title had been vacated the month before,
right,
in October by Roman Reigns, who had announced that he had a re-diagnosis of leukemia. Mm. It was a type of leukemia, and I'm not going to get into what it is. It's beyond me, but it's a type that is often non-fatal,
right?
But of course, like any leukemia, like any cancer, it of course carries numerous risks. Mm. So as far as I know, it was never a case that they believed it was going to be something that, you know, had a chance of causing him loss of life. But obviously, he had to stop performing.
Yeah.
I'm willing to say I may be entirely wrong about that. I do remember there was a big kerfuffle in the Wrestling Observer because they had slightly downplayed the severity of the leukemia he had. I think they'd even...
Well, don't continue it here.
No, that's very much why I'm fudging my way around. I thought last night, I must look at that before I go in because otherwise I'll find myself in a real mess. And do you know what, Pete? You'll be surprised to hear this. Didn't get around to doing it.
Oh, yeah, watch 4 hours of this shot.
Yes. So this match was supposed to be a triple threat match, but it came a match now to crown the new champion, it having been vacated. Lesnar comes out, and for the first time you go, there is someone here who's actually like, let's do business.
Right.
Let's inject this with a little bit of
gross
animal ferocity of, you know, one of those fucking escaped creatures in the island of Dr. Moreau. Here I am, a half crocodile, half gorilla man, come to do some damage. He looks from the word go like he is annoyed to be there, Brock Lesnar. He wasn't. He was given a $3 million payday.
Yeah.
He must have been over the moon.
There's certain body shapes that you sort of think, what is he going to spend the money on?
Yeah.
Like, his interests are probably animal hunts, husbandry, and hay bales.
Yes.
That's what he's into.
And do you know what? The other thing is privacy.
Privacy.
Privacy. Yes. He is one of the few Americans you'll meet who's actually relocated to Canada. So he moved over the border just so that he could have more land.
And right.
People do talk about him. He's not one of those guys who you'll have a chat with.
Yeah.
He is. I think Paul Heyman has said he genuinely doesn't really like people.
Right.
You know, he seems like a very frightening man. And I think what he does with that money is he buys more and more land so he is ever further away from humans. He is like Frankenstein. He's like a terrifying albino Frankenstein. I do love him in this just for the fact that when Braun Strowman comes out and Braun Strowman kind of goes, lifts his arms when they introduce him, he goes, and Brock Lesnar just laughs. I love his sort of, he refuses to look nervous. Mm. He refuses to kind of be a pro wrestler and go, this guy looks big. I hope I can. He just sits there and goes, what the fuck is this? Who the shitting hell are they giving me now? Look at you, you fucking arsehole.
Who's this today?
Oh, you tit. You big tit roaring with your arms up. I'm going to kill you. It's so magic. This is not a good match. So what happens is Baron Corbin comes out with the belt, holds it up. And I did get the feeling, Baron Corbin does a proper smile with the belt. And I got the feeling he was going, I will probably print this off. So I will get a still of this.
Yes.
So he's holding up the Universal belt and he's just going, yeah, like that. And I thought, credit to you. I like you for that. He then hits Braun Strowman with it, which isn't necessary. And then, it isn't necessary for the actual storyline.
Yeah.
But it did sound like I was going, it was really, that was a shame.
He really let himself down.
I mean, what a brute. What an action of a brute. Lesnar just picks him up and does an F5. And he then does another one. And he gets a two count. And he does another one. And he gets a two count. And brilliantly in this, which I love. That's how the match goes, by the way. He does five, I think, and then finally, you know, Strowman. But after the second, Braun Strowman's nipple comes out of his top. So his top gets a bit pulled. And normally, they're over the nips.
Yeah.
And they come out, and he's got a nip out.
Yeah.
And he's got quite a big, round, brown nip. You know?
Right, like not, big not areola one of those kind pink of.
Ones. Yeah. I mean, that's not why he hides them. It's just how he's got it.
It's right? Like when they for some reason, on the Mario, Super Mario Sunshine, or whatever the last Mario was, they gave him nipples. And it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
It was like, those nipples are unnecessary.
It's only when it comes out do I go, oh, he's got nipples. I've never thought it before.
Yeah, you never thought about
it. If he'd
Strowman's
always
nipples.
Had nipples, I'd been like, he's got nipples. Yeah. You know, or I'd have been like, he hasn't got nipples. I wouldn't have registered.
Yeah.
When one comes out,
you're like, whoa.
Seen his nip. But it stays out through the match.
Yeah.
And it is the absolute dictionary definition of a nip slip. It's not supposed to be out. And whenever you see it, you're like, oh.
There it is again.
See it now.
Yeah. We're
you
not allowed to see.
You cannot take your eyes off it.
We're not allowed to see ladies' ones.
No.
So,
but Braun Strowman's are acceptable.
Yeah.
Acceptable
nipples.
I wasn't objectifying him, but I was sort of aware of the fact I was going, that nip is not supposed to be out. It's an errant nip. And now we're all looking at it. It's I'm surprised that people don't talk about that more.
Yeah. Or the referee goes, Braun, your nips.
Braun, nip, 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 mate.
Nip, nip.
Pull up.
Nippy peek peek.
It's good.
Nippy peek peek.
Every shot they have, you can see that nip in it. It's not even a thing of, you're super aware you've never seen it before because now you can't see it anything but.
And Corbin's just like, this is a shame.
Oh,
this
man.
Is a real shame.
A real shame.
Did not need to happen today.
No, they must have got to the back. They must have got to the back and Braun Strowman would be like, thought that went well. Everyone would be like, you know.
Right.
One of the puppies has got his nose out. Oh my God. Did that go out? Oh,
Brock
no.
Brock Lesnar was like, you fucking idiot. I knew that was going to happen, you idiot.
You
fucking
sick,
idiot.
Depraved
ruining.
Pervert.
I'm glad I got paid all this money. You're a fucking idiot.
Oh, my God. Children are sitting in those leather sofas as well, looking very bored doing this as well.
Yeah.
This is, if you're going to be bored in this as a kid,
yeah.
Two monsters throwing each other around and a nip slip. And the kids are just like, this
well,
is
well, they probably
crap.
Didn't put the nip slip on the big camera, on the big screen.
No.
They should have done that.
It's daring.
They should have went, hyper nip.
And then nip vision.
Big robots, big Gundam warriors come out. Nip slip.
Game over. We've all been, a whole of wrestling has just been building up to the point where we can accidentally see Braun Strowman's nipple. And now it's done. We're over. Everything is pack it up. Oh, it's magic. Beautiful.
3 minutes and 16 seconds for 3 million. What's that, a sec? Yeah. I mean, good God.
Yeah, it's astonishing.
Wow.
This also was really a bad booking decision because Braun Strowman had been portrayed up to this point as this unstoppable monster, and he was really, really getting over.
Yeah.
And this killed him stone dead. You know, they put in that thing with the...
And his nip. And his nip, mate.
They'd put in the thing with the belt in an attempt to sort of go... Oh yeah, but you know, who knows how it would have gone otherwise.
Yeah.
But you know, they didn't let him do a single move really. Mm. And his nip flopped out. It was amazing. Now, my daughter was watching this with me, and I tried very hard not to let her see wrestling because every time she's seen it, she's become quite violent afterwards. She's 2 years old, and she saw this, and she saw Brock Lesnar, and she didn't quite know what it was.
Yeah, what
she's
is this
looking
pink
at
monster?
It, but she pointed at him, and she said two words, and she said, baby.
Baby.
Was the first one. And then she said, wet. Like
wet,
and
wet
he
baby.
Does look like a big wet baby.
Yeah.
I was like, that is good.
Yeah.
That is good to the level that I'm going to put it onto a podcast forever. But yeah, I was like, God, yeah, wet baby. You're absolutely right. It's sort of horrific.
Why didn't you record it? We could have played it out.
She also did say later when Shawn Michaels had a bloody nose, she said, wet nose.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah. I was thinking... Things you've seen today, like Shawn Michaels, like bust up nose, and then Brock Lesnar like screaming a lot. Yeah. He was really screaming. I was like, it's not good. Shouldn't be watching this awful sport. Terrible. She also she saw Miz. There was an advert on the network for a 24 show that had Miz in it. And
right.
She went, ooh. And my wife just went, no.
No, Miz. This cannot be where this starts.
No. In this house, we do not look forward to Miz. The final of the World Cup is match number 10. And out comes Shane McMahon, the SmackDown commissioner. Miz gets beaten up before the match. So Shane McMahon bravely steps in.
Yeah.
And why did we sit through a tournament
where the Miz has got really far, and so it all gets set up. He starts the match, and then he jumps off the ring.
Mm.
Like, doesn't even jump off, he just steps off the ring and pretends he's hurt his ankle. He's like, I can still wrestle. Why have we gone through this whole shite?
Why?
Just to get to a point where it doesn't matter anyway, because Shane McMahon's just going to do what he wants
does
to do.
Does not matter.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, it doesn't work because Shane is presumably supposed to be the good guy. Well, A, he's just stepped in totally fresh.
Yeah.
Dolph Ziggler has fought two matches, which I don't think he's cheated to win either of them. So that's well done him. And so we then get McMahon taking on a tired guy in a position that he's not earned. And they expect us to go, oh, brilliant. And he is the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah.
It is such a bad piece of booking, such a selfish and boring piece of booking, that I was talking about how tournaments, you know, traditionally have got people over more than they were when it started. And this one is a perfect example of everyone in the thing is just like, you wasted your time.
Yeah.
And Shane McMahon is slotted in and you go, he didn't deserve it and he's won it.
Yeah.
You know, what are we doing? This is like, if there was a proper wrestling school and you went to it and you were a first year and you went, you know, I've booked this tournament, and Shane McMahon comes in, they would just go, you're literally going to detention. Because
why would you even make the...
You've not been listening to a word that's been said, you know. And it's the worst thing as well about it is the commentators all draw attention to the fact that this is fucking crap.
Yeah.
So Michael Cole, Renee starts it off, I think, actually. She says, this is insane. Corey Graves says, this is insanity. And then Michael Cole said, Ziggler earned his place in the final. Corey Graves goes, of course he did. Why are the commentators ruining this more than it needs to be done? If they were going, well, this is exciting, this is what the crowd wanted to see.
Yeah.
You can't just go, this is bullshit. This is all fucking wrong.
Maybe they just decided to do it at the last minute because nothing else was working for them.
It is mad. I mean, why not give that role that Shane McMahon has to an actual full-time wrestler?
Yeah.
In an attempt to get them over.
Yeah.
Why just suddenly go, him back in? This man in his 50s, let him do it. He has a match that is sort of fine.
Mark,
I suppose.
Do like his coast to coast.
The coast to coast is good.
I just like his. That's his.
Shane is not the problem.
No,
Shane is not the problem. He goes in there and he does the best he can, and his his best is often, you know, pretty damn good.
Yeah,
but he is not the best wrestler in the world.
No,
he shouldn't be winning the World Cup, even though it's a cup we've never heard of until this started. But when he runs around, he is like, I have done the most incredible thing as well, and that in itself, you also go, have some fucking humility. You stepped in at the last minute, having decided you were doing it.
And he's
it.
Showing off that you're fresh by dancing everywhere.
He really does. He really does.
Doing his UFC shit.
He's one of the few who gets over with the crowd. And he's one of the few who actually feels confident.
He's full of businessmen.
That's it. Children are billionaires.
Yeah.
So he's happy to like high five. Yeah. And the kids are like, oh, this is great. And he knows if he goes over to those huge, great chairs and starts saying to the kids, high five, then they will run to him. Mm. And it looks like he's made an amazing connection because they're no longer sitting there just looking at their phones. But it's just him going, these are my people, my billionaire people. I understand how these guys work. But oh my God. And by the time he gets back, he's sweating so much. The run really makes him sweat. And he is a good sweater. He's one of the classic sweaters in wrestling.
Wet.
And he's just, oh, he's so wet. Baby. So wet. Wet baby. Wet baby.
The, I like very much that the you get a shot at some point during this match. It's right near the end. You get a woman of age in a buyer sort of dress, classical dress. And then the advert for Survivor Series where Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch, when their page comes up, everyone goes crazy for it.
Yeah.
You can hear them go way in the background. It's like, it's such a weird juxtaposition, a weird sort of jump between one of the few women in the crowd of age or over the age of 18 and then people, a bit of a pop for a picture of two big
that
stars.
That was very controversial. I can't remember whether it was this event or the Greatest Royal Rumble, but there was an accidental shot shown of some of the stars, and I think it was Ronda Rousey, and I think it might have been Becky Lynch as well, where they are in just their usual wrestling attire,
right.
And it's part of an advert,
right.
And that led to a lot of serious discussions because it had gone out live on Saudi television,
right.
And that was seen as being absolutely unacceptable.
I mean, that's, wow, I mean, yeah. I'm surprised,
that's why there's the cheer. Right. People go, oh, great. Wow, this modernising is going brilliantly. No.
Something different.
Don't look at them.
I've just realised, was Strowman booby not enough? I've just realised that like the Miz's look, is it like Derek Zoolander? I've never seen Zoolander, but his look in this looks very Zoolander-esque.
I think it might be.
And he's kind of a Zoolander-y kind of like idiot, kind of like, you know, honest idiot kind of character, isn't he?
I think it may be. Right. It is hard to tell. It is that sort of thing where I think they would have that like Mrs. Deluded, delusional.
Yes.
But at some point they forgot that and they just now treat it like
we're
he's
deluded.
Always been cool.
Yes.
And it's not right. You know? Miz is really bad in this as well. I mean, you know, he just is so the epitome of this blanding out. But oh my God. I mean, look, nobody wanted to see the actual final of Miz versus Ziggler. Nobody really wanted to see Shane McMahon versus Ziggler. I mean, you just don't want to see any of it. It is incredible when you think about like the eight people, if you like, who are involved in this. If you were booking like a British thing and they said you could have three of these people, you could make a sellout and you could have a brilliant match.
Yeah.
You know, it would just be, you know, if you could put on Seth Rollins versus Jeff Hardy, you know, in York Hall or the Royal Albert Hall, you would have a good, I mean, the fact that WWE have 120 people you could do that with, and yet you can end up with stuff like this.
Yeah.
It's just, there's something rotten at the heart of it. It's so horrible to see. So horrible. Maybe it's because of things like this main event. So you get the Brothers of Destruction versus DX, and what you're always being taught is there are places in the card that you can't go as a performer, and there are places in the card that people like The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels can just take, even though you've been working solidly for the past 5 years, that they can just step in and they have this. And you know before it starts it's going to be bad. And yet you don't really understand quite how bad it's going to be. This is regarded as being, you know, one of the all-time terrible matches. How did you find it?
I didn't mind it as much, really. No. I think we spoke about it before. It compared to what how boring everything's been, it's like it's a bit of a
boredom is the worst fucking crime in wrestling.
Yeah.
There is no need for things to be boring because you are determining what's happening.
Yeah.
And how can you make it boring?
And Shawn Michaels wrestles with a charisma that few match, and I do enjoy watching him wrestle, and you know, he's still got it. He still looks pretty good. I enjoyed him sort of doing some decent facials before he moonsaults off the back onto Kane and The Undertaker. And Kane and The Undertaker are not in anywhere the right place that they need to be.
No.
Shawn Michaels is going, you would have been in this spot you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, there is. I mean, that is a particular one where I think Michaels does his moonsault off the top turnbuckle, yeah, and they're on the arena floor. And Michaels' leg hits Kane, and sort of that propels him really in a bad landing. Undertaker makes no attempt to even try and slow him down. It's really horrible. This had been set up at the Super Showdown that they'd had in Australia, which had a match between Triple H and The Undertaker, which happened earlier in the year. And they very much had this sense of, if they go international, they can do these one-off shows, but they have to have the main event is basically a foot in the past.
Right.
They're acknowledging that the modern guys can't really sell out, but they can do these one-off shows in areas where they've not been for years and years and years. And all you do is you go, we'll give you a classic dream match.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done with all the Saudi shows.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
The Michaels had retired at WrestleMania 26. That was in 2010. So it had been 8.5 years since he'd performed. This was a big main event. I mean, it would have been a much better match a decade before. But they all of them have the arrogance to sort of think, now, well, we can do it. It's not going to be what it was 10 years ago, but look at the four of us. You know, we have sold out arenas all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, we're not what we were, but hey, let me tell you, that's still more than most people's ever going to be. Mm. They had a combined age of 206, Pete. it's so fucking arrogant.
Nice round number, though. You know, average out, everyone's a bit 50.
They come out, they look like leather, they look like fucking sides of beef that have been frozen in the 90s. You know, the things you see like mobsters being murdered next to, they just fucking look tough and chewy.
Shawn Michaels does a funny joke about him having no hair. That was good. I enjoyed
that. Yeah, like a granddad would. So he goes, I'm going to push my hair back. Oh, no, I ain't got no hair, he says. This is, you know, the things about this that I found embarrassing was not the in-ring stuff.
Yeah.
It's like DX when they come down, now they're old. And it's so, they're all like, you know, I'm still, you know, I'm a rebel, you know, rebel against, what have you got, you know? I don't, you know, we're bad boys. Well, you can't handle us. And I just, it's just like, oh, you just
and we've
like,
had loads of blowjobs.
It is like sort of men in their like late 50s yeah. who are still like, oh, I'd take a little bit of the old chisel, you know, yeah, like chase a bit of skirt. And you just sit there and just go, oh God, you're pathetic. You're awful. And they are. They're so embarrassing. They're sort of, they wobble a bit as they walk and they're sort of like they're trying to be like I've got no cares and it's just excruciating. It's so embarrassing. I mean just imagine either of them turning up to a nightclub dressed like they are. You'd just be like, you know, you fucking joke.
You see it though in America, you see that sort of thing. Like, yeah. They accept it. They just accept it.
They've got that slight
like
sort
that.
Of Mickey Rourke, you know, yes. sort of thing going on. And you sort of go, oh, you must be a character to be like that. But I would love to have seen you back in the day. You know, it's all that. They just look so fucking terrible. They, oh, mate. You know, Triple H is also
is this
really...
an intervention for me? I just fear that I'm approaching 40 and I get up to this kind of like, you know, going out drinking.
Yeah, but you
I'm just
don't,
worried you with don't, my other male friends.
You don't film it. It's the filming it and charging people for it, Pete. That's the thing. Do you know, Jesus Christ.
It's a documentary with the... What, there wasn't there a documentary with Gordon Ramsay, the bloke who runs the restaurant
Fred
in First Cilia. Dates. Yeah,
yeah,
and the bloke who used to rob people.
Yeah, that's right. Famously stole Paul Young's guitar. Yeah.
And they're all on a thing. And yeah, stuff like that. It just makes you
just,
go,
you know, the top-notch bands, you know, you're mental.
It's bootcut wrestling.
It really is.
Bootcut wrestling. Yeah.
It's, oh my God. Michaels is not at all out of shape in this. No. He is still really, really good. Kane, oddly, looks really fucking Kane, beefy in this. He's really sort of like a cow.
Like he's gone from behind a desk...
Yeah,
Wackinac County. Or
yeah,
he was
indeed Knox County, Tennessee's mayor at the time this took place. Yeah. So that again was seen as being a thing about should Knox County, Tennessee's mayor?
Yes, no,
be
exactly.
Working
he's
with
a libertarian
the Saudi regime.
You should do whatever you want.
Absolutely,
you do whatever you want.
Personally, I don't think I should, so I have to. You know, that's my confusing political credo. So out he goes, and by this point, really, he and Undertaker, they look like British knockoffs that you'd see in the 90s of themselves. So you've got Undertaker's really ruddy and he's got jet black dyed hair. Makes him look like fucking Mick McManus, but he's got long hair, so it's a bit like the guy who runs Weatherspoons. It's just he looks like a big fat witch. He looks rubbish.
He looks like Big Saxondale.
Yes, he does. And Kane looks hefty and he doesn't look, you know, he just, they look bad. They are the worst two in this.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you think about this, it's like, oh, Michael shouldn't have come back and everything. But actually, Triple H, when it starts, Triple H is like, I am really in the zone. And that made me laugh more because I was like, you've got no idea what's coming up. But he's really like, I'm going to fucking do this. And I think it could have been 10 minutes. The first 10 minutes, I was like, this is actually really good. Mm. I was really enjoying it. It was well laid out. It was, you know, they were doing the best that you could have hoped for. And there's a simple slot where I think Kane like clotheslines Triple H over the rope. Mm. And Triple H, he grabs the rope as he goes over and he rips his pectoral muscle clean off the bone.
Oh, no.
That's what happens. So suddenly he can't use his right arm.
Yeah.
And you watch the whole of the thing and he's wrestling with one arm.
I didn't even notice that.
If you go back, it's really, really obvious.
Wow.
So what happens? He said, my arm hooked on the rope deep and it was just gone. I said to Sean, I just tore my pec off. Sean never panics, but I remember looking at his face and he was like, you are kidding me. Now, when they're on the outside and that happens, they've both gone over the top rope.
Right.
It is exactly as Sean, as Triple H explains. And he starts talking to Shawn Michaels and you can see Shawn Michaels going, what the and he doesn't go shit.
Yeah.
He just goes, oh, here we go. He's got that real look of, we're absolutely in the shit.
We've got the nightclub. He's done too many lines. And my bootcut jeans are soggy.
My keys were in his jacket, but the bouncers have thrown him out. It's exactly like that. He looks, okay, We're in for a fucking ride here.
Yeah.
And so Shawn Michaels then, they go back in. You can tell Michaels is rattled. And basically, whatever match they have planned is out the window.
Right,
so,
okay.
So
this Shawn, could have been better then.
The only one who could feasibly still perform at a high level is broken suddenly. And then everything is gone. Now, it does go slow. And it's from that point, it's very slow.
Yeah.
And I think it's that case of, because Shawn Michaels can't work very well at this stage of his of their career, really, with Undertaker and Kane, because they're so big and they're so unwieldy.
Mm.
And he can't throw them around.
Mm.
So what can he do?
Yeah.
You know, he can run into them. But I mean, you know, that's tiring. So they just have a nightmare. At the moment where it goes the worst, the crowd start chanting, "This is awesome." And that is a bit of a cliche that crowds do that now in matches that aren't awesome.
Right.
And that does happen. But there is a moment where I just sort of thought, poor Shawn Michaels must be sitting there just going, this is like a living nightmare. And now the crowd are sort of chanting, "This is awesome." And that makes it clear to people watching. They go, "Is it?" And then you go, "No, just off." So Michaels ends up doing most of the match.
Mm.
He's in there for ages.
Yeah.
You know, constantly doing the selling, and what you'd be building up to is the hot tag. But of course, what you don't realise until you understand what's happened to Triple H is any hot tag that comes is going to be limited, because Triple H will not be able to do very much when he gets in. It goes on for such a long time, this match.
Mm.
Much too long for the crowd. And
half an hour.
It is, yeah. And Michaels gets sort of busted open. It just goes on and on. At one point, Triple H is put through a table. And that would be the bit where, presumably, they'd have got heat on Michaels.
Mm.
But the problem is, he's gone through the table after the pec injury, where he then didn't come into the ring. So the bit that goes through the table is to set up a bit that we've already just seen for 15 minutes. And it just continues. They keep on beating him and beating him and beating him. Triple H said, at one point, I remember looking up, and it looked like Kane's whole head had fallen off. His mask came off and it couldn't have gone any worse. This is a bit where Michaels is on the turnbuckle and he's punching Kane. He punches Kane four times. On the fourth time, having done three exactly the same, the fourth one is exactly the same, and he hits Kane's mask, it just comes off. And it comes off in such a quick, fluid motion, and it goes straight onto the floor of the arena. So it doesn't go in the ring where he can get it. Kane just covers up to hide his face. Like he didn't
like it.
Unmask in 2002 and spend years with it off. We know what he looks like.
Yeah.
You don't have to panic. But it comes off. Kane's mask never came off in any other match.
No.
Not once. And it's just an odd thing where I think, had it not come off, you might have looked back on this match and gone, that wasn't terribly bad.
Right.
But oddly, that thing of just going,
it puts the full stop.
It's just another little bit in the basket that weighs it down, isn't it? You sort of go, boring, didn't work, they're old. Undertaker's slow, Kane's mask fell off, oh, it's over. You know, it's now officially a bad, bad match. It does end with a really bad pedigree by Triple H. He is so damaged on that side.
I cannot imagine how painful
that he can't even sort of get both arms and then jump.
Yeah.
So it just sort of flops, and it does look shit. When I watched this at the time, the first time I'd seen it, and it was one of the rare shows that you could see live here because of the time difference between here and Saudi Arabia, unusually for a big WWE show. And when I did watch it, I just thought, this is awful. And watching it this time, knowing there was this big pec injury, you go, gosh, it's really apparent.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that really destroys this match.
Yeah.
What's weird about it is, like, The Undertaker doesn't feel like he's part of this. It's just, he is just a sort of, he comes in every now and then a bit slow, and he's just, his facials have all disappeared. He's not really acting it. Shawn Michaels is slightly over-facialising it as well. So when they get him in an arm bar, he'll be like, like that. And you're a bit like, just settle, everyone settle down a bit. Just get the nerves out, and then we can have the match, all right? And what it ends with is just Michaels in the corner and Triple H sort of, you know, with him. And I think Triple H is just going, that was a disaster. And Shawn Michaels has got the look on his face like he's just been the victim of a confidence trick. And it's just the pennies just dropped.
But he's somehow made $3 million.
It is amazing when you see the $3 million and you just go, you can see him there. That is a man who's just won the lottery.
Yes.
And he's sitting there just going, I shouldn't have done this. This was a mistake. It becomes a bit of a leitmotif for these shows in the Middle East, which is once great performers sitting there having won a main event with a look on their face going, I should never have done this, and I've ruined my legacy.
Yeah.
It just continually happens. Shawn Michaels said, for me, it was just a chance to be with my buddies. All I can do is apologise to the guys. Oh, goodness, it totally blew, he said. Mm. He's spoken again and again and again now about saying he shouldn't have bothered doing this. But he says, as far as he's concerned, this isn't an official match. He said it's more like a glorified house show. I was just having fun. So he still says his last match was at WrestleMania 26 when he retired and never came back. He did a 23-minute match, you know.
Yeah.
We've seen it on television.
Yeah.
You can't just say that is not a match. It is a match and it did happen.
Has he left WWE and never came back to wrestling at all? He just completely left?
No, he came back insofar as he now works at NXT as a trainer. So he's back in the business, you know. And, you know, I mean, a great mind for wrestling.
One of the great performers of all time. Imagine in that little Wikipedia box, you can say trained by Shawn Michaels. Well, wow.
You know, I think there's something about him which is, if he'd have come back as they'd wanted him to do at various WrestleManias, if they'd have said, you know, do a match with AJ Styles, his big thing is, I didn't want to let myself down because I'm older now, I can't do what I used to do.
Yeah.
But something like that could have been much better than coming back to do one with two other people who were on the verge of retirement.
Yeah.
That was only ever going to end one way, and that was, you know, slightly humiliatingly. He could have done a match with, you know, a younger talent. It could have brought out the best in him. And you can see in this, really, I mean, you know, there's a lot about wrestling which is muscle memory, and a lot of that is the performance. And you don't necessarily have to do huge moves all the time. You know, I think with Kurt Angle, you could have, you know, they could have given him a much better last year if they'd have concentrated on his strengths rather than said, go and wrestle like everybody else.
Yeah.
But in this one, of course, you're saying, here's three people. The two people you're going against, Kane and The Undertaker. Undertaker is really, really far past it, and Kane is limited. So have a great match.
You know. Enjoy yourself.
Undertaker in the last ride said, it was a total train wreck, a disaster. I took a lot of responsibility for that because my mind, I wasn't there. I was there physically, but mentally I wasn't there. Michelle and I had some personal things going on with other parts of the family. I had that drama going on in my head. I wasn't all consumed with it, he said. This is actually Kane's last ever pay-per-view main event.
Right.
So he only had, has only had one match since this match, and that was the 2021 Royal Rumble. So it looks like it may end up being Kane's final, if you like, proper match.
Right.
It's been, I mean, this is what, 2018. So it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
And I don't quite, now he's in the Hall of Fame. Seems unlikely they'll go one more match for Kane. Undertaker would have four more matches until he retired after this. Two of them were on the Middle East shows. One against Goldberg, which we covered on WrestleMemus, a real shitter. And one where he would, in another Middle Eastern show, he would come and Shane McMahon a tournament. He would turn up as the last person and win that. And of his last nine matches that took place 2018 to 2019, four took place in the Middle East, one in Australia. So he's very much his international. Over 50% of his last matches were international, and they were all shite. Triple H, he's only had four matches since this one as well. It is like a cursed match. Two of them were house matches and a Japanese tour. The other one was a WrestleMania against Batista.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels, of course, never wrestled again. I mean, it's beginning to look like a key match that ruined everything.
Ruined everything, yeah.
Yeah, but as you know, look, it's far from the worst bit of
a very, very underwhelming,
just an appalling, blood-soaked, vile show. I mean, it really is. But yeah, I mean, what a fucking way to spend 3 and a bit hours, Pete. What a way.
It's one of those shows where I've enjoyed doing WrestleMe more than I actually enjoyed watching
it. Do you know what's annoying about it? In the old days, if someone said it's a terrible show, you've got to see it.
Yeah.
That was the thing that you just go, this is going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, Jake Roberts is drunk and he's fondling a fan with a snake.
Yeah.
All this, you know.
Yeah.
The worst thing now is when people say, oh, it's such a bad show.
Yeah.
It's because it's dull. Mm. It's really boring. Mm. And these are hard to work out what's so wrong with them, other than it just
tepid,
everyone
by numbers, asinine,
so, so ploddy and just shite.
Mm.
Just corporate bullshit.
It's almost like done by AI, isn't it? It's almost like that kind
really
of like
is.
It, yeah.
Yeah.
Or
it
a video
really
game.
Is. What is wrong with a fat bloke being pushed off a scaffold? Come on, WWE.
Do a bit of that.
Bring us back what we want to see.
Bring us back the garbage, Semtex. Let's have some Semtex in there.
About time. If it doesn't have thumbtacks, Pete, I am not going to watch.
Have I done the thumbtacks yet?
So that was Crown Jewel 2018.
It was.
That is the last we're going to say on the matter. Never going to mention it again.
Full stop.
Never Goodbye. Going to mention it again.
Nice to get through it, though.
But look, we're going to be back next time, and we're back with WrestleMania 36.
I think it might be 35, you know. I think it's 35, buddy.
We are not far off from finally ending this wonderful podcast.
And getting the blowjobs we saw.
Respect is due. Listen, if you want to hear far more, you can always go to our Patreon. That's WrestleMe Patreon. type that into Google. Yeah,
patreon.com/WrestleMe.
There we are. And there's some fantastic stuff up there where we talk about shows that are neither tawdry and horrible, but are tawdry and horrible in a good way. I think that's the key.
And say hello to Mark on Twitter as well. I am active on the WrestleMe Twitter, WrestleMe Pod, but I do occasionally accidentally click into the DMs. I don't mean to, but when I move from my own account to the other account to check the other messages, I'll sometimes click on it and Mark hasn't read it and I mess up his admin. So apologies about that.
In fact, that's good you brought it up, because I believe the WrestleMe Twitter login has been seen in a data breach, so I'm going to have to change it.
Oh no.
We'll talk about that later. Until then, we'll see you soon. Lots of love. Bye 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 bye.
WrestleMe data breaches.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.